Today Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Chavav. We begin a very top line Chavav of an Aleph with the brand new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us how we make a kinyan on real estate, on karka, or things that have the halachic status of karka. So, continuing in our series of Mishnah is how you make various kinyanim. The Mishnah starts and tells us, Nechoshim Sheish Lehem Achrayis. If you have property that has achrayis to it, that usually means that we're dealing with karka, because, as Rashi says, Hainu Karkos, this is usually dealing with karka, or things that are like karka, because, Shachrayis Kol Ha'odam Halove Vanoshe V'chaveiro Aleyen. That these are able to be leaned, and that's why it's called achrayis. They have a responsibility attached to them. They have an ability to go and collect from them even after they're sold. So, for example, if on January 1st, Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, so Reuven's karka that he has at that time is leaned to pay back Shimon's loan. If Reuven then sells that karka on February 1st, so that karka, even though it's now bought by Levi, so Levi understood when he bought that karka that there was a lien on that property. Maybe he paid less for it, maybe he was willing to take the risk, maybe he just assumed that Reuven would have enough cash and he was willing to take that risk. In any event, assuming Reuven can pay back Shimon, Shimon has the right to go to take that karka that Levi had purchased and take that karka, which was leaned. That's what's called achrayis. It was leaned. And therefore, now Shimon takes it from Levi. Levi will now have to deal with getting his money back from Reuven. In any event, Nechosim Sheish Lehem Achrayis, the Mishnah tells us, how do you go and acquire something like karka, which has this achrayis attached to it? So niknin, it can be purchased, it can be halachically acquired with the following kinyanim, either bekesef, with money, ubishtar, or with a document that effectuates the sale, or ubechazaka, when you make some sort of a change in the property. As Rashi tells us over here, the chazaka that we're referring to would be rofak bay purta, you plowed it a little bit, you stirred up the ground a little bit, or dayish amitzri, or that you built up the fences around it, mitzrim or the borders of the field, or noal, or you fenced in an area, or parats, or you opened up an area, kosher, even a small amount. So that is making a chazaka, which shows proprietary ownership of that area, and therefore this effectuates the sale. So bekesef ushtar bechazaka. However, property she'ein la'machrayis, which is the word that we normally use for metaltalin, for movable property, so it doesn't have achrayis, you don't lean. You sell somebody your car, so that car is not leaned to the person that you sold it to, that somebody else could go get back that car from them. So if Reuven had borrowed money from Shimon, and then he had a car at the time, and then he subsequently sold his car to Levi, so if Shimon then, the loan is due, and Shimon doesn't have the money for moving, he can't go and take the car from Levi. He could have taken real estate, karka, which has achrayis, that has a lien potential on it, but a car, metaltali, or any other movable item, would not be able to be leaned. So this is called dvarim she'ein la machrayis, various types of movable property, as it's normally referred to, metaltalim, that don't have achrayis to them, so ein niknon, Ella b'mishicha, so they cannot be acquired b'kesef ushtar u'b'chazaka like karka can, but they're acquired with mishicha, and as we pointed out from yesterday's shir, mishicha includes as well b'mesira and certainly hagbah. So mishicha is the lowest level of this type of a transaction, type of a kinyan, that you go and mishicha, bring it into your domain or bring it into your possession. And likewise, mesira, handing over the reins, let's say, on a horse, or with lifting it up, as we talked yesterday, with a behema dako, or even as we said, behema gasos, according to Rabbi Shimon, you do a kinyan hagbah. And certainly that would work over here as well, but they're telling us that even a kinyan mashicha works over here for metaltli. Why doesn't it say chilufin? So we had discussed that yesterday as well, and the Mefarshim should bring down today that it only lists things that are specific to karka and specific to metaltli, and not kinyanim that could be done by both. In any event, the Mishnah continues and says, Nechosim she'en l'machrayis, this type of metaltali, movable property, so it can be bought and purchased with karka. So niknin, it can be acquired via a valid transaction in Nechosim she'en l'machrayis. So when a person purchases real estate, so along with that transaction of the real estate with kesef shtar or chazaka, you can also say, and I'm also selling you my car, which was called the kinyan agav. So it comes along with the karka. And the Gemara will have a whole discussion. Does the car have to be on the property, or the car does not have to be on the property? Will ultimately tell us that the maskana of the Gemara is that the car doesn't have to be on the property. It's called the kinyan agav. It's sold with the property, and that's a valid way to make this kinyan, even though you're not making a kinyan mishicha, mesira, or hagbah, but it's called the kinyan agav. And with the acquisition of the property, however you made the acquisition of the property, the kesef shtar or chazaka, you can also acquire metaltali. And this is, again, I said, is called a kinyan agav. So nechosim she'en l'machrayis, niknin can be acquired, the metaltali can be acquired, im nechosim she'en l'machrayis, with the real estate, with the karka. And this is done with the real estate, as we said. And there's an additional din over here. And this metautli that is acquired can now do something to the karka that the karka normally wouldn't have. And that is lishov aleh. There is a famous shvua d'oraisa called modeh b'miktsas. If Reuven lends Shimon $100, and Shimon says, I paid you back 50, but I still owe you 50. So in that situation, Reuven says, no, you never paid me back anything. This is called, that Shimon is modeh b'miktsas. He admits the part of the loan, 50, but not the entire loan, 100. He says, I already paid you back 50. So there is a shua d'arais here called the modeh b'miktsas, shua's modeh b'miktsas. So this is only by metautli. There is no din, as Rashi points out, from the Gemara that we learned in the Bava Metzia, that this din of modeh b'miktsas doesn't apply to karka. But over here, when you're already making a shua modeh b'miktsas of $100, he's saying that I only have to pay you still back 50. I already paid you back 50. So if there is also karka that's involved, so Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon, and he also borrowed a property from Shimon. And in this situation, Reuven says, I paid you back the property, and I also paid you back 50 bucks of the 100 bucks. So here, Shimon can demand a shua modeh b'miktsas on the money, and since he's already making a shua modeh b'miktsas on the money, he can also, that's called v'zokikin es hanechasim sheshal machrayis, you can force the person to make a shua modeh b'miktsas on the karka, lishova aleim, even though normally karka is not something that you would be able to go make a shua modeh b'miktsas on. Okay, now, the Gemara now starts off and says, how do we know all of these kinyanim that we just said? How do we know that karka, nechosim sheshal machrayis, can be nikneh bekesef? So the Gemara says, minolim, where do we know this? So Amar Chizkiah, Chizkiah tells us based upon the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us, Amar Krop, Pasuk from Yirmiyahu. A lot of these dinim are learned that from Yirmiyahu, which Nebuch was at the time of the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. So Yirmiyahu wanted to be optimistic to the people and tell everybody, no, we're getting Yerushalayim back. We're getting the entire country back in 70 years. The Golus Babel will only be for 70 years. He said, listen, don't just give away your property. Write shtaros. Go write documents over here and make sure that you can keep records of who owns what property because we're coming back in 70 years. So he told them, on my cross, sados by kesef yiknu. The fields can be acquired with kesef, with money. And this is the source that we have from Yirmiyahu, that fields can be acquired with money. Tosus asks over here, why didn't we bring down from Ephron Achiti, rather than going to Yirmiyahu, which is Navi, why didn't we bring down the Psukim from Ephron Achiti, from Parshas Chayisara, where Avram Avinu buys the Morasa Machpelah from Ephron Achiti? So why did we bring that down? So Gemara Tosus says, because Mishum de Dilma, Hani mili minochri should call kinyanim b'kesef, because one might have said, oh, Ephron Achiti is a guy, and only when you're buying from a guy, where all of the kinyanim with a guy are money, so therefore, that's why Avraham Avinu had to do it with money. But maybe by a yid, where there's other kinyanim, such as a shtar or a chazaka, maybe you can't use money. So that's why we have to ring down the pasuk from Yirmiyahu. That's what Tosus answers. So on my cross, saw those b'kesef yiknu. Mora says, wait a second, but there in that pasuk, it also tells us, v'yemo adi kushtar. It also tells us at the end of that pasuk, tilsiv, v'chasov b'sefer v'chasov. The pasuk tells us there that not only was there a kesef that was transferred, but there also was a document, a shtar, b'kesef, and b'sefer. So maybe you need both. That's how Rashi understands this. Maybe you need to have, if you're doing money, that won't do the trick. The real trick is with the shtar. So Gemara says you'd be 100% right. Iksiv yiknu libasov kiduka armis. You would be 100% right that you need both if the word yiknu was at the end. And that way, the money and the shtar would both be only acquired. The document and the money only caused the transaction to occur, the kinyan to take place, if yiknu was at the end. That's the kinyan. However, hashna d'chsiv yiknu meikara. But since it says yiknu up front, by kesef yiknu, and only afterwards is it mentioned the shtar, so it's the kesef that actually does the work of the transaction, kesef kani, and the shtar over here is not a shtar of effectuation, the shtar over here is a raya, shtar raya b'yamahu. It's just proof that this is in fact the sale took place, but this isn't what effectuated the sale. So that's how we know kesef. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, lo shanu, Rav qualifies this and says, lo shanu ela b'mokum shein kosef es hashtar, that karka is transferred with money only in a place where the custom wasn't to write a shtar. But, avo b'mokum shein kosef es hashtar, in places where people wanted a document, this way they could prove that they have it. So they really weren't in their mind giving over the field with money. They were in their mind saying, I'm not allowing the field to be acquired with money. I'm waiting until we have the shtar to go and effectuate this kinyan. So then, lo kana. So Rav says, in that situation, even though Rav doesn't disagree that Kesef could do it, but if the custom of the place was that you rode a shtar, so then the person, when he got the money, he wasn't giving over the field yet. He was waiting till the shtar was actually given over for this transaction to occur. And therefore, the stam situation, according to Rav, in a place where the custom was to write a shtar, was that the kinyan is not made with the money, the kinyan is only made with the actual giving over the shtar. However, the parish. If, however, the person stated specifically that, no, I'm giving it over with the money, or theoretically, I'm only giving it over with the shtar, so then, parish, whatever he specified, that is what the din is. So, midaraisa kesef would work. Midaraisa shtar would work. And the stam situation was when the custom was to have a shtar, so then it was only the shtar and not the kesef. But if a person, even in that situation, specified, no, I'm happy with the kesef doing the trick, or I only want the shtar doing the trick to make the effectuation of the kinyan, so then whatever the person specified, parish, so then parish, that's what he specified. Now, Kihad Rav Idi Bar Ravin. Rav Idi Bar Ravin put this din of Rav into practice halacha lemaisa. Kizovin Ara, when he would sell a field, Omar, he would always say, Ibeino bekaspo ikne, Ibeino bishtore ikne. I'm taking the choice for myself that I will decide whether I want the kesef to be kona. After the fact, I will decide which one I wanted to be kona. Was the kesef kona or was the shtar kona? Now, why would he take this position? So the Gemara explains, Ibeino. Because if I choose that I want the money to make the transaction, because I want this to go and be finalized. So in this situation, I wish that the sale should take effect with the money. Then you can't retract, even though you haven't given me the document yet. Normally, maybe it's the document that would make the transaction effectuated, and the guy could back out. He changed his mind. The prices went up. And he says, no, I'm not selling it to you at a lower price. I want to sell it to a higher price. No. So Rav Idi Bar Ravin said that I have the control. And if I wish, I could say that the transaction already occurred with the giving of the kesef, and you can't retract. But if I want it the other way, I also reserve that right. If I want the shtar to be the one that effectuates the kinyan, so then the ibin mahadah, then I still have the right to reserve for myself the right to retract my giving you the money and take back my money because the deal isn't finalized until I get the shtar. So therefore, this way he has the best of both worlds. If he wants, he can have the transaction occurring with the kesef. So the prices go up, he wants the shtar not to be the effectuating thing, he wants the money, which he already gave. So this way, he got it at a lower price rather than a higher price. And if the prices go down, so he wants to reserve the right to say, no, unless you deduct, give me back some of my money, deduct from the price, so then, no, I'm not taking the sale because it's the shtar that effectuates it, and I haven't gotten the shtar yet. So that's what Rav Idi Bar Ravin did in order to have the best of both worlds on his side. Then we said in the Mishnah that a shtar will also work for nechosim sheyesh lemachrayis for karka. So we said with the shtar, how do we know that a shtar works? Midolad. So the Gemara says, Elay, if you're going to tell me it's because we shouldn't accept, because the pasuk tells us that we just said, that pasuk we just quoted from Yirmiyahu, which says that you write a document, but that can't be, because we just said, shtar ra'ayah b'yamahu, that the purpose of that shtar was not to effectuate the transaction, that was just proof of the transaction. Again, we have to differentiate between effectuating the transaction and proof of the transaction. I give obviously the example that eidim at a wedding, the eidei kedushin at a wedding, they are effectuating the kedushin. They're not there to prove afterwards that the couple is married. Anybody in the audience can say, I was at the wedding, and I saw the marriage take place, it was a kashur kedushin, and I saw the yichud, I saw them walking out afterwards as a married couple, and they can testify that they're a married couple. They're not effectuating the marriage. They're testifying that I was at the wedding. However, the two Eidei Kedushin, they're effectuating the marriage. It's their witnessing the giving over of the ring or the money that effectuates the marriage. That's what makes them a married couple. So therefore, we just said that this shtar that was given over the days of Yirmiyahu was not to effectuate, that was only to have a raya. So in case there's a court case, the litigant can come and say, here's my raya that I bought the field. So therefore, that can't be the source. So what is the source? So the Gemara says, only halacha. We learn that from a different pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where it says, for ekach et sefer ha-mikdah, that he says, I will take this sefer of the transaction that made the kinyan. Oh, that is the famous way that we know that a shtar can effectuate a sale of karka. And that's why we have a sefer on the famous sefer. Sefer HaMikdah is based upon this pasuk. Okay. Then we have Shmuel that's going to qualify this a little bit. Omer Shmuel, this din that we just said that a shtar does it, lo shanu ela bishtar matana. The shtar effectuates on the normal circumstances when it's a gift. because then there is no money that is used in this transaction. Reuven is giving a gift to Shimon of this field, so he gives him a shtar. That's how you effectuate this field, transferring from Reuven to Shimon. But if it's a sale, Abu B'mecher, if in fact Reuven is selling the field to Shimon, and this is a sale, so then it's not the shtar that does it, Shmuel said, but lo kone ad shi'itin lo domin. It's the money. And the reason why is, yes, Shmuel's not disagreeing that a shtar works on a deraisa level. He's just saying, practically, people want the money. That's what should effectuate the deal. They don't want to give him the shtar, and now the guy owns the field, and now he's walking away from the giving you the money. He says, no, take me to court. No. So you say, no, then the field isn't yours until I get the money. So it's the money, according to Shmuel, that's the final straw, and only the money, according to Shmuel, effectuates the sale, even though a shtar theoretically can effectuate the sale, but in the custom was, well, money does it, so then the din is that only money does it and not the shtar. Almost the exact opposite of what Rav said before. Or if the custom was that the shtar does it, so then the money doesn't do it. So Rav and Shmuel are both saying like the flip side of the coin in each scenario. Now, Shmuel just said over here that it's the money that does it, and this is questioned by Rav Hamnuna. Masa Rav Hamnuna, Rav Hamnuna said, wait a second, Shmuel, b'shtar ketzad, how is a shtar effectuating a sale under normal circumstances? So, for example, kosav lo ala niyar o ala cheres, the person writes down on a piece of paper, or on a cheres, a shard of pottery, and even though this piece of paper or the shard of pottery doesn't have a shava pruta, so it's certainly not shava kesef that's transferring this field. It is, in fact, a shtar. So in this situation, the person writes down on the shard of pottery or the piece of paper, sadi, my field, mechur loch, is sold to you. Or alternatively, he says, sadi, nesuna loch, my field is given to you as a gift. So, hare ze mechura unesuna. It says that this, in fact, is either a sold field or it's a presented field. The given over is a present. So, clearly, you see that it's the shtar that does this and not necessarily the money. So, kashon Shmuel. So, Rav Hamnuna asked this question, who mosiv la, v'hu mefarik la. He gives the answer himself. He asked and gave the answer. B'mocher, he's talking here, Shmuel is talking about b'mocher sadeu mifnei ra'asa, that the person is selling a really lousy field, the grade D field. So he's so thrilled to finally sell this field that he's saying, no, you don't have to give me the money, don't worry about it. I know the money's going to come. So the field is effectuated, the transfer, when the shtar is written. It's such a lousy field that he's so happy he finally have a buyer for it, so he's not going to wait till he gets the money. He said, no, I'll take my chances that I'll collect the money from you. The field is sold with the effectuation of the shtar. So therefore, that's what Shmuel is talking about. But under normal circumstances, Shmuel is correct. And Rav Hamnuna says, this brisa is not a kasha on Shmuel. That's teretz number one for Rav Hamnuna. Rav Ashi Amar, again, it doesn't say Omar Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi Amar is that it's not disagreeing with Rav Hamnuna. He's just giving another possibility to explain the brisa's challenge to Shmuel. And he says, b'matana b'kesh litna lo, the lama kosav lo loshet mecher kidei liyafos es kocho. So in fact, Rav Ashi says this is a matana. So when we said over here sadai mechuraloch, sadai nesunaloch, it's not talking about two cases. One was a sale and one was a present, like Rav Hamnuna said. We're talking here, it was one field that was given over as a matana. So it really was sadai nesunaloch. So the Gemara asks, so then why then did he say sadai mechuraloch? That's what Rav Ashi says. B'matana b'kesh litnalo, he originally gave it to him as a matana. So then the Gemara asks, v'lama kosav lo shtar loshon mecher. So why did it include the language of a sale in it if it's given over as a present? And the Gemara answered, Kedei liyafos says kocho, in order to go and give him stronger rights. When a person gets a field as a present, so then he can't go back to the guy that gave him the present in case that field is taken away as a lien. Let's say Reuven gave this field to Shimon as a present, and then Levi comes along to Reuven and says, you owe me money. Well, Reuven says, I have no money. So take the lien field. The lien field that he gave over as a present to Shimon, so Levi has the right to take that because Levi had the debt, the IOU, before Shimon got the field as a present. So therefore, Levi can take the field from Shimon, and now Shimon's up the creek without a paddle because Shimon got it as a present. So he can't go to Reuven and say, hey, you owe me money. Well, you gave it to me as a present. Why do I owe you money? So that's why over here, Rav Ashi said that the person who gave the present to Shimon loved him so much. So he said, not only am I giving you a present, I'm giving you a achrayus on this present. I'm stating that it was a sale, and therefore you do have a right to come back to me. In case this present ever gets taken away from you, you actually have the halachic right to come back to me and say, hey, you owe me the value of that field. That's how strong it was that Reuven wanted to give him this present, that he was giving it to him as a sale, even though he wasn't asking for any money in return, it really was a present. Sadei mechuraloch, I'm making it like a sale, even though it really was a present. And that was kedei liyafos es kocho, in order to strengthen his claim on it, that he could even collect it from real, from lien property. Then the Mishnah said, "Chazaka." If the person makes some sort of a chazaka in the field, like we said, he plowed in it a little bit, he fenced it in, he opened the fence, something like that, that's a chazaka. How do we know that this works? How do we know this effectuates nechasim sheish lemachrayis for karka, that you can make such a sale, effectuating it with a chazaka? Minola. So how do we know this? On the Chizki says, based upon the pasuk, also a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, where it says, "Ushvu bi'arechem asher tefastem." You will go and stay in the cities that you tefastem, that you took, that you grabbed. Bamet tefastem, how did you grab them? Be yeshiva. It says, ushivu, stay in those cities. So you grab them by dwelling in them, by living in them. That is the chazaka that you made. Alternatively, the Rabbi Shmuel taught in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they learned it from the following pasuk. V'yirishtem osa v'yishavtem ba. This is a pasuk from Chumash, where it says that you will inherit the land and you will stay in it. So you see that the yeshiva, how did you inherit it? B'meri yashtem v'yishiva. By living in it, by dwelling in it, that was the chazaka that demonstrated that it is yours. So here we see from either from the Chumash or from Navi, this idea that karka can be acquired with a chazaka. Then we said in the Mishnah that v'she'en le'machrayis e'nikne ela b'mashicha, that non-karka, metaltali, is only able to be acquired with mashicha, which we said also includes mesira and agbah. How do we know this? Minolad. How do we know that metaltali can be acquired with mashicha? Dechsiv, because the pasuk tells us, pasuk from Vayikra, where it says, dechsiv, v'chi simkru mimkar la'misecha, o kano miyara misecha. It uses the lashon over here, when you will go and sell something to your friend, or you go and acquire something miyad amisecha, from the hand of your friend. So what do we see with this lashon of miyad amisecha? It could have just said miyad amisecha. Why miyad amisecha? Dover hanikne miyad liyad. This is referring to something that is given over from hand to hand, i.e. a kinyan mishicha. You're giving it over from hand to hand. That is how we see that a metaltali can be acquired by a kinyan mishicha. So the Gemara questions this and says, this is the famous machlokas we have between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says that min haTorah, money doesn't go and make a kinyan. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, money does go and make a kinyan. So according to Reish Lakish, no problem. This is Dovra Nik Miyad Miyad. It's only via Mashiach that you can make a kinyan metaltli. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer, Dvar Torah, Moz, Konos, Michael, Neymar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds the famous machlokas in Perek Hazav in Bava Metzia, as I just mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan holds that min haTorah you can acquire metaltli by giving over money. Not like Reish Lakish says that you can't min haTorah and that only Mashiach works. Rabbi Yochanan says money works. So why did our Mishnah say that metaltli can only be acquired with Mashiach? It should have said it can also be acquired with Kesef. Why didn't it say it can be acquired with Kesef? So Gemara says, no, Rabbi Yochanan agrees that midaraisa it can be acquired with kesef, but midirabanan, tana takanta dirabanan ktani. Our Mishnah is talking only midirabanan, that the rabbis came along and said, no, even though the Torah says that metaltli could be acquired with kesef, we're not going to allow it. Hefker based in hefker. And therefore they said, no. Now, what's the takana? Why not? Because you know what's going to happen. Ruvi is going to sell his widgets that he has in his factory to Shimon. As soon as he gets the money, the widgets in Reuven's factory now belong to Shimon. But guess what? There's a fire that breaks out in the factory. Reuven says, hey, not my money, not my widgets. I don't care. It's not my property anymore. It's Shimon's property. But Shimon can't go in there and easily put out the fire. It's not his property. So therefore, the rabbi said, in order to make sure that Reuven protects Shimon's property that's in Reuven's possession, so they said, you know what? It's still yours in regards to Achrayus on it. So it doesn't really get transferred over to Shimon until he pays cash for it. Once he pays cash for it, he'll go and take it. So therefore, in order to protect the movable property, the metaltli, that are still in the original owner's possession. So along come the rabbis, the Tana of Amishna, and say, Tana takanta the Rabbanan Katani. They made a rabbinical enactment over here to protect the metaltli, because Midi Araiser of Yochanan says it was transit over, the Midi Rabbanan, they said, we're not going to allow that transit to take effect, and you still have a chayis on it, and therefore you will be in a rush, you will be quick to go and save that property from a fire or from some other catastrophe. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, "Nechasim she'en lahem achrayis." We said the properties that don't have achrayis can be acquired with a kinyan agav. When you're selling karka, you can say it also comes along with the movable property. Also comes along with it. Now, how do we know that? We know immediately. So the Gemara tells us, "Amar Chizki." Chizki says, based upon the pasuk "Amar Kro," the pasuk from Divrei Yom Beis tells us, "Vayitei lahem aviem matanos v'gomer," that their father gave them presents, and then it says the presents came im are mitzuros b'Yehuda, with these fortified cities that were in Yehuda. Now, it didn't say ve are mitzuros b'Yehuda, but it said im, with the are mitzuros b'Yehuda, implying that it was a kinyan agav. Oh, this is the source for a kinyan agav. Now he asks a question I alluded to before. They ask in the base manager the following shaylah: Ba'inon siburim or lo ba'inon siburim? Do the metalteli that you're transferring with the kinyan agav have to be literally on the karka that you're selling? Or no, they can be someplace else, and they're transferred along with it, albeit not physically on that transfer of the karka. So this is the question. We'll spend the rest of the shir essentially on this question. We'll ultimately come to the conclusion that, in fact, it doesn't have to literally be on the property. But we're going through a whole bunch of case scenarios for us that will try to prove it one way or the other. Each time it will be left as not a successful proof, and it'll finally bring a successful proof that they do not have to be tziburin. Lo ba'inan tziburin. Okay, so the first one is Rav Yosef. Oh, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following Mishnah. Mishnah states, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, it's a Mishnah in a number of places, in Bava Basra and in Peah, and the Mishnah states, Rabbi Kiva Omer, karka kol shehu, even the smallest amount of karka can be used, something which you obviously can't put a large property metalically on, but a very, very small piece of karka is necessary, chayevis v'peah, if you have a very, very small property and you're growing things on it, so you have to leave a portion of it as peah for the poor people, or bikur, and you have to bring the first growths from this produce as bikurim. Now Rashi says, we're not going over here bevidui, that in order to do vidui maisos, that you need to have some karka, because in fact, Rashi says, to do vidui maisos, biartis, akodesh min abayis, that we say at the end of the third year and at the end of the sixth year, you technically don't need to have karka. Rashi points out that this is different than the bikurim, which you have to say, the property, asher nosatoli, that Hashem, you gave me, by the vidui maisa, you don't have to actually own property to say vidui maisa. So Rashi says, there was a gear over here that said, also for vidui maisa, so Rashi says, not to be gorset over here. In any event, even a small amount of karka is chayevis bepeya, is chayevis in bikurim, and we turn to chavav omid beis, and in addition, the lichtovela prusbul, we've discussed prusbul already a number of times in the recent past, in Gittin, and we discussed it before that as well. A prusbul is at the end of the Shemitah year, so if you don't want your loans to be mishametes, to be not collectible, so you hand them over to Beis Din. And you write something called a prusbul. So this is prusbuli ubuti. This is good for the rich people, good for the poor people. It's good for the rich people in that they won't be reluctant to give loans towards the end of the Shemitah because they know they have a way of getting it back. And it's good for the poor people that they'll be able to get loans and it won't be difficult for them to get loans. So therefore, they would Hillel Masaki in this prusbul. But a prusbul has to be based upon owning some karka, a little bit of karka, even karka mashu. And finally, even a little bit of karka, liknos imam, nechasim she'en lemachrais. And even a small amount of karka can be used as a kinyan agav for this metalti. Now, here's the proof that Rav Yosef wants to bring. The amr is binan siburim. If you're telling me that the metalti has to be physically on the property in order to be acquired via this kinyan agav, so call shulamai chazi. It's a very, very small piece of property over here. So you want to sell him a huge amount of metalteli, so you want to sell him a big car, and it can't fit on this little tiny piece of property. So obviously, it must be that it doesn't have to be tziburim. It doesn't have to be on the property. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, here's a raya that doesn't have to be tziburim. However, Tirgumar Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, Kamei Rav Yosef, Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, however, said in front of Rav Yosef, that's not true, that's not a good raya. Rav Yosef's raya is not a good raya, because you know what we could be talking about? The metalteli that you could be acquiring, agav, the kinyan agav over here, is kigon, for example, shino atzmo machat. He put a very, very thin needle on this very, very tiny plot of ground. So he has a 1-inch by a 1-inch plot of ground, and he puts a small needle on that. And the chiddush of Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, which he said over in front of Rav Yosef, is that you can acquire this needle via kinyan agav. Rav Yosef did not like this teretz at all. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says to Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, and he says, kebaston, you are a kebaston. What is kebaston? Rashi explains, siartoni, you've given me a hard time, you're giving me pain. That's the way Rashi understands kebaston. On the side, if you look in the Masoras HaShatz, it brings down Rabbeinu Hananel Piresh, Kabaston is Gonafto Datenu. You stole our thoughts. In other words, you gave us over here a fake teretz, trying to stymie us, trying to fool us with your fake teretz. Kidaminan, as we use the lashon of Kabaston, Nimso Ganavo Kabiustus. If you find out that the slave was a Ganav or a Kabiustus, like an armed robber. So the Rabbeinu Hananel says that Rav Yosef is telling Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna, you've basically stolen from us. You've given us a teretz over here that's not a real teretz. In the Aruch, he also translated this way, Herich Od. He further expands on this. And at the end, he says, so dvarav, ka'adam shemare es chaveru dovar mitunaf. It's as if you're showing somebody something that's disgusting. In other words, Rav Yosef really is not happy with this teretz of Rav Shmuel Bar Bizna. He says, you showed us something that's disgusting over here. In other words, that's not a real teretz. Because the Gemara continues, Ich pal tana liyashbin and machat, the Tana went out of his way to tell us that this is how you can acquire a needle. So it reveals it doesn't like this. And the final thing on the Mesoros HaShatz is the Fuss Tzadzulbach, a certain type of printing, it said that Kabastun Kilomar Hofachto es bnei mayoi lohoki. You made me vomit. This teretz is such a horrible teretz that you gave, it makes you want to throw up. So Rav Yosef did not like this teretz of Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna at all. And he said the Tana wouldn't have gone out of his way to teach us his Kinyan Agav in our Mishnah to teach us the sale of a machat. On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna is 100% correct. I'm Rav Ashi. Mon Lamalon. Who says the Lotola Bar Ba Maginisa, the Shavi Alfi Zuse? Who says this isn't a great teretz? Who says this teretz isn't worth over here $1,000? He's telling us that a Kinyan Agav works for a macha, and therefore we can learn how a Kinyan Agav works on anything, but it has to be on the property. So you can't bring a Saraya over here to whether they have to be Tziburin or Lo Tziburin. That's the bottom line. So Rav Yosef ultimately isn't a good teretz for the question that we asked, does it have to be tziburin on the karka or not? We try again. Toshma. Rabbi Loza tells us, Ma'aseh b'Madon yechad. There once was a Ma'aseh with a certain person who came from a city called Madon. Rashi says that you can see the city Madon in Yoshua Perek Yud Beis, where it says, Melech Madon echad. And anyway, this guy came from the city Madon. So it's a ma'isa b'Madon Yechad. It's a ma'isa that happened to this one guy from Madon, Shaya B'Shlaim, who once came to Yerushalayim. Shaya lo metaltlin harbi. He had a lot of metaltli, and he wanted to give them over to somebody as a friend, as a gift. Ubike shlitnam b'matana. But the other guy wasn't there. So the people he wanted to give the gift to weren't there. So Amulo, they told him, Ein lo takana. Sorry, there's no way to give it over as a matana unless you do a kinyan agav. Ad sheyiknem al gabe karka. Until you go and do a kinyan agav and put seemingly, that metallically on the property. Now, so what did this guy do? So he went, he didn't have any of his own land, so he went and purchased Halach Vilokach Beis Sela. So the simple understanding right now in the Havamin is he went to purchase a little small plot of land the size of a Sela, a very, very small plot of land, Somuk Yushalayim, which is right near Yushalayim, where he was, the Amar, and he said, Tzifon, he's there, the northern part of this very tiny plot of land, Zeluploni. I want to give the present to such and such a guy, the Emo, and with this present of this very, very small plot of land, the northern part of this plot of land, I'm also giving him the Emo with that plot of land, Meyot Son, Umeyot Chavios. I'm giving him 100 Son, 100 sheep, and 100 barrels of wine, or something else, whatever is in the barrels. Let's say specifically what's in the barrels. And the Bryce actually continues elsewhere, and says to his other friend, the Gemara in Bava Basra tells us, to his other friend, he says, and the part of this on the southern side, I'm giving over to a different friend, and he also gets Meyatzon and Meyachavios. In other words, you see that he didn't actually physically put the Meyatzon and the Meyachavios on this very, very tiny, small plot of land. And then when this guy died, Umeis, it had already taken effect, the Kinyan Agav, the Kimu Es Devarav. So what do you see from here? Clearly, Rabbi Elazar says that you do not have to go and beat Tziburin on the Karka, because it physically couldn't fit on that Karka, because the Karka was only the size of a cellar, very small pot of land. And therefore, you clearly see that it doesn't have to beat Tziburin. And that's the question. The Yamar is bringing in Tziburin, but if you tell me it has to be physically on it, base cellar, Lamai Chazi, how could you possibly fit the Meya Shon and the Meya Chavis in this very, very small plot of land, the size of a coin of a cellar? Shmuel says, Lav Davka, did it mean the coin, the land was the size of a coin, the size of a sela? Misavis Beis Sela, does it mean that the land was the size of a coin that was a very small piece of land? No! Sela meant rocky terrain. Sela Mamish, it meant a rocky terrain, but it was a very large rocky terrain. And therefore, my Sela, what does it mean, this Beis Sela? It was the Nofish Tuva. It was a very large piece of rocky land. And it could, in fact, hold the Meya Tzon and the Meya Chavios to the guy on the north, and the Meya Tzon and the Meya Chavios on the southern aspect of it for the other guy, because it was a huge piece of land. And therefore, he actually put the Meya Tzon and the Meya Chavios on the land, one could argue. And therefore, you can't bring me a proof from here that it doesn't have to be Tziburin. No, you can say this is proof that it does have to be Tziburin. No, why do they call it Beis Sela? But my Korle Sela? Because the Koshik is Sela. It was a rocky terrain. It wasn't good fertile land. It was a rocky, not so good fertile land. And therefore, that's what it was called, a Beis Sela. So again, we have no raya from Elazar, Tziburin or not Tziburin for Kinyan Agav. Try again. Toshma. The following Maisa. and we'll have two versions of it. Review the same name of Rav. According to the first version, which is Kirebi Eliezer, this is talking about a person who was sick in Yerushalayim, whereas the second version, this is the second version of this story that Yehuda Marav says it was a healthy person who was in Yerushalayim, and it goes Kirabonim. Now, what does it mean? Like Rabbi Eliezer if he was sick, or like the Chacham if he was healthy. Since the famous Machlokis, when we say a Matnas Shchiv Mirav, a person on his deathbed, so he wants to give over presents, so do we or do we not say that Matnas Shchiv Mirav, present from a person on his deathbed, is considered kiksuvim if it was written as if it was written down umesurin and given over? So it's as if the kinyan takes place, and everybody agrees that this is true on Shabbos, because we're afraid that the sick person, if he doesn't know that his property is being given out the way he wants to, it could chas v'shalom make him sicker and he'll die a second or two early. He'll die prematurely. So in order to prevent that, so we tell over on Shabbos, everybody agrees, even Rabbi Elazar agrees, that kiksuvim umesurin dami. The machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham is, what about on a weekday? On a weekday, Rabbi Elazar says no. Write it out. There's no reason not to write it out. On Shabbos, I understand. But on a weekday, write it out. So we don't say, Kiksuvin Umisur, Dami from Matna Shchidmi, according to Eliezer. Whereas the Chacham say, Bain Shabbos, Bain a weekday, that you do say, Kiksuvin Umisur, Dami. So therefore, that's the machlokas over here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. So the story was that it was a Matna Shchidmi, according to Rabbi Eliezer, or it was a Matnas Bari, according to the Rabbanon. And this way, it wouldn't work with just a matna shchid meira, because according to Rabbi Elazar, it was a weekday, it wouldn't work. According to Rabbanan, he wasn't a shchid meira. He was a healthy guy. So what do we have? We have this guy in Yerushalayim, Shoyalom Metaplum Harbe. He had very much similar to the story that we just brought down before from Rabbi Eliezer. Shoyalom Metaplum Harbe, he had a lot of property, and Ubiki Shlidim Matana. He wanted to give over to his friends who were not there as a matana. So he asked what he should do. So the rabbis told him, Marmulo, they told him, Ein lo takone. Sorry, there's no other way to do this. Elo via a kinyan agav. Achiyaklim agabi karka. You have to go and make a kinyan via karka, and the matatli will go with kinyan agav. So what did this guy do? Me'o saw. Holach, he went, the lokach base rova. Before we had base sela, here we're talking about base rova. A base rova is the amount of a field that you could go and take a rova kav of barley and go and plant it there. And this was some of Yerushalayim. It was near Yerushalayim. Now, he went and purchased this small plot of land. Beis Rova is a very small plot of land. The Omar, tefach al tefach liploni. And he said, I'm giving over one tefach by one tefach of this land that I just purchased. So that I'm giving over to my friend, Reuven. And he's not here. And I'm giving to him via a kinyan agav. V'imo meya tzon u'meya chavios. At the kinyan agav over here, he made a correct transfer with either money or shtag with somebody for the karka. And then the metaltli, the meya tzon, and the meya chavios, he gave over via this kinyan agav, u'meis. V'kimu chacham mezvar. And even though he died, the kinyan was made before he died, and therefore this is a valid kinyan for the karka, the tefach by tefach karka, as well as the meya tzon and the meya chavios that were on it. Now, the Gemara says, maybe you tell me it has to literally be on the land, so then how could that be? This was a tefach by tefach. Tefach al tefach, l'may chazi. You couldn't put the meya tzon and the meya chavios on this tefach by tefach piece of karka. It's 4 inches by 4 inches, so you can't put 100 tzon on that, you can't put 100 barrels on that, so therefore, clearly you see that for the kinyan agav to take effect, it doesn't have to be Tziborin. Oh, that's the raya we want to bring. So, the Gemara says, Lav Davka. Because you know what? It didn't literally mean 100 tzon and 100 chavios. It meant the value of 100 tzon and 100 chavios. So it's worth $10,000. So you put a $10,000 bill or a precious diamond that was worth 100 tzon and 100 chavios on that one tefach by one tefach. So maybe you could argue, no, it has to be Tziborin. And I'll show you that this is right, not just a made-up teretz. Hachanami mistab, it makes good sense to say that this could be the case, that it was l'dmei. Because the isok ha'daitach mea tzon or mea chavios mamish, if it really was 100 tzon that he was trying to transfer, and 100 barrels of wine that he was trying to transfer, so why did he have to make a kinyan agav? It's metaltli. Niknu niyalei b'chalipin. You could have made a kinyan chalipin. Here's my handkerchief. And with this transfer of the handkerchief, I'm acquiring the mea tzon and the mea chavios. He could have made a kinyan chalipin. So therefore, it makes sense, since they didn't allow this kinyan chalipin, they must be talking here that it was dinei meya tzon or meya chavios, because a kinyan chalipin doesn't work for money. So therefore, the fact that they didn't say, let's do a kinyan chalipin over here, meant that it must be really dinei. It must have been money, and not the actual meya tzon or meya chavios, which could have been transferred over with a kinyan chalipin. Ayinor says, okay, so then you tell me it means money. It means that there was a $10,000 bill over there. So then nikninu niyalei mashiach. Then you could have done mashiach, just transfer the money over. So why didn't you just transfer the money over? Why do you have to do this fancy kinyan agav? So Gemara says, because you know why? El delay shel makabel matana. There was nobody there to go and accept this matana on behalf of the friends that the rich guy wanted to give the meyatzon or meyachovios value to. So if you say that, there was nobody there to accept the money. So achanami delay shel makabel matana. There was nobody there to go and accept the matana as well. Vaya chalipin. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya over here that this is a kinyan agav is the only way to have done this. Gemara says, V'nizkinu niale agav acher. So just pick any other person there and let the other person acquire it for him. The kinyan agav can be acquired by somebody else. So achliyol shlomo fana. So where it says, because this guy was afraid, if I give it to this person, who says he's acquiring it for the other guy? He may be acquiring it for himself. Lo shamcha daite. He didn't want to trust him. Sovereign, because he thought maybe shomit, he's going to go to achlu and take this land and say, I acquired it for myself. I didn't acquire it for him. You gave it over, so you gave it to me, but I didn't acquire it for the other guy. I acquired it for myself. So the Gemara says, but then why do we use the lashon the elamai ein lo takana? We said that there is no alternative. There is an alternative here. It's just you weren't somech daita on that guy. So the Gemara says, no, hachi kama. When he said ein lo takana, it meant because lemai de lo somcha daite. Since there was nobody there that he would be somech on, so therefore only because of that ein lo takana, there was no alternative way to do this except achi yiknem agabe karka, except to do it by the kinyan agav. So again, we have no raya. We still left our question. Does it need to be tzibur on the karka for it to be kinyan agav or not? Try again. Toshma. From a famous following Mishnah, a famous story, Maizra Gamliel Uzkenim. Gamliel was with a number of great gedolim on a boat. He was with Rabbi Yoshua. He was with Rabbi Akiva. He was with Elazar ben Azariah. And you know what happened? He realized that he left home without being Mafris's trumas and maestros because he was either rushed when they left and he hadn't instructed his workers to go take out his Trumas and Maestros, and there is a chazaka, as Tosus brings down, that any Talmud Chacham has already been mafresh Trumas and Maestros as soon as he could. And therefore, Rabbi Gamliel was afraid that people would go and assume that his property was tied, and therefore they would be eating tevel, but thinking that it was tied. So therefore, what he said to his colleagues was, Shayu Bam Yisrael, they were all in the boat together, and he realized this. And he said, as Rashi says, Vishachach v'lo nasan rishus litrom. He forgot to do it himself, and he didn't tell anybody else to go and do it. So he quickly took off the trumas and maestros right there on the boat. Now, he wasn't physically there, so he designated a certain area. Amalei Rav Gamliel is kainim. So Gamliel said to the other talmidei chachamim that were there, he said, Isur shani osid lamod, that one-tenth of the field that I will eventually go and take off trumas and maestros from, that will be my maestro rishon. So it is as if, and he turns to chavzayin with aleph, I am now giving it, not only Yeshua, gave it to Yeshua ben Chananya, who was a Levi. So I'm giving the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. And how did he acquire it? Because the place that this Maaser is on is land, and I'm giving that land over to him as well. So I'm renting him that place, and then via Kinyan Agav, he's going to acquire it. V'yitza Acher, and another tenth of Yishan, Yosid Lamo, that I'm going to give to Maaser Ani. This was the year of Maaser Ani, so I'm giving that over to the Gabbai Tztaka, Nosin Loli Akiva ben Yosid. This is Rabbi Akiva, famous Rabbi Akiva, who was the Gabbai Tztaka. So I'm giving him the 10% that's Maaser Ani, Kadesh Yiske, Baal Yanim, and he'll acquire it on behalf of the Yanim. How did he do this? Umakomo Muskalo. I'm renting to him, I'm giving him that place that this is on, and in fact, Rabbi Akiva will therefore acquire it on behalf of the Yanim. Now, Shma Mino, we see from over here, Bo'inon Tziburimba. It Bedavka was on that place because he said that place which has the Maaser on it, that Maaser Rishon is physically situated on this piece of land. I'm giving that piece of land with the Kinyan Agav to Rishon ben Chananya, and that produce, the one-tenth that's Maaser Ani, which I'm giving over to Rabbi Akiva, is acquired by Rabbi Akiva by the land that it's on. So you clearly see from here, Tziburim, Shvamino, Beinon, Tziburim, Ba, you actually need it to be Tziburim. So it says again, not a Raya. Shiny Hossam, that case is different because Rabbi Gamliel didn't want them to have to work too hard to go get it. So therefore, he didn't want to trouble them. So when they go back and take the Trumas of Maisers and take the Maiser Ani, as Rashi says, Ulahotzi Misham Kozman Shiratsu Lanichulisham. Since it was theirs, they could go anytime and get it. If it wasn't their property, so then maybe Rabbi Gamliel's servants wouldn't let them go. But since it was given over to them, so they could go get it whenever they want. So therefore, he just did that for their ease, but not because it was required. So again, we're still stuck. We don't have an answer. Do they need to be Tzibur or do they not need to be Tzibur? Finally, we bring a raya from the following, and this will be a good raya. Toshma. The following state, the Amar Rav, Bar Yitzchok Amar Rav, Rav Bar Yitzchok is the name of Rav. First, he starts off and tells us, Shtei Shtaros Hen. There are two different types of dinim regarding Shtaros. In a moment, we'll see that the third one is added by Ruchia Bar Avin Amar Rav Huna. But right now, The first two cases are stated by Rav Bar Yitzchak in the name of Rav. Shnei Shtaros Hein, these rules are as follows. Zachu b'sade zu l'ploni. Reuven wants to give over a field to Shimon, and he gives it over to Levi and Yehuda to go and acquire it for Shimon. So v'kitzulos ashtar, and he says, go and write a shtar that I'm giving this field over to Shimon. So that's the scenario. He's telling the two people, Reuven is telling Levi and Yehuda, go and acquire this on behalf of Shimon, and go and write a shtar that he has in fact acquired it. The shtar is not effectuating the kinyan. He's telling him, I'm giving it over, this field, to Shimon, and acquired on behalf of Shimon. So until the shtar is given, he can actually retract the giving of the shtar, chose b'shtar. As Tosus points out, on the bottom Tosus, in Toma, Maya Viech was that. What does he gain from doing this? Im Yachzeh b'shtar, he may be able to go back on the shtar, but he can't go back on the field. The field is given over. As the Gemara says, chose b'shtar, v'eino chose b'shtar. So he can't stop from giving over the field. The field is already acquired. So Tosus answered, Yishma de lo nichle de leipuk shtar ilave. He doesn't want a shtar out on him, because that will hurt his financial status. People say, oh, there's a lien on his property. So therefore, he didn't want to hurt his financial status. So therefore, he can retract the shtar, because the shtar has to be given with both of the people involved agreeing to it. But the owner of the field, he now is retracting, giving over the shtar. He has the right to go and retract, giving over the shtar, until the shtar is actually given over. But he can't retract the field. That was given over already. But if he had said that I'm giving this field to Shimon, I want Levi and Yehuda to go and acquire this field for Shimon, but al menash tichlulos hashtar, but on the condition that I write him a shtar, so then chozer bo, he's allowed to go back on this chozer bein b'shtar bein b'sader. He can still retract on it even when the shtar wasn't given, even on the field itself. So these are the first two dinim shtei sharos hein that Rava Bar Yitzchak said the name of Rav. Now a third din was stated over the name of Rav Huna, Rav Chia Bar Avinam Rav Huna, who was a Talmud of Rav, and he said there's a third din, Shlosha Shtaros Hein. There are actually three dinim over here. The Treha, the Amar, the two that you said over the name of Rav, our Rebbe, I agree with those. Either there's another din that you didn't say over, and that is Im Kodam Mocher. If the person who's selling the field writes first, because of Lois the Shtar, he first wrote the Shtar before the field was actually acquired on behalf of Shimon. So then, Keosa Shaninu, this is allowed to be done, like we learned in the Mishnah, Kosin Shtar Lebocha, the person who's writing it, the seller, he's allowed to write a shtar. It's not a problem of a shtar muktam, because he's the only one that would be hurt by it. So he's allowed to go and write it over here. So Afo P, Shein Lokeach Imo, even though the buyer is not there at the time that the seller is writing the shtar, he's allowed to do that. Kivon Shehichzik Imo Bekarka. So once the buyer actually takes possession of the land, he does a kinyan chazaka on the land, so then he simultaneously acquires via kinyan agav of the karka niknishtar b'chol makom shehu. He likewise acquires the shtar wherever it is. That shtar is not on the ground, it's not tziburin. He acquires it wherever it is. Now, here's our proof. Shmamina. We see clearly from here, Lo bo'inon siburin ba. You don't require that it be physically on the land. Gemara says, maybe not. Shiny shtar. Maybe shtar is different because the afsira, the aruhu, maybe that's considered part of the land. Even though it's not physically on the land, it's considered the shtar of the land. So maybe that's different. Maybe in regards to the shtar, that can be acquired when it's not physically on the land. But everything else would have to be a kininagab when it's siburin, when it's on the land. Shmuel says, no, because it was said about this thing, the Ruchia Bar Avin said in the name of Rav Huna, Zuhi Shashanina. We then said, this is exactly what we learned in our Mishnah. Menchosim Shein L'machrayis, Niknin, Menchosim Shein L'machrayis, Bekesef Ushtar U'Bechazaka. This is exactly that case that we had in our Mishnah, that this is how you acquire metaltali via Kinyan Agav when you're selling the karka with Kesef Shtar U'Chazaka. Shmamina. We see that this din, Ruchia Bar Avin, name of Rav Huna, is teaching us this din, lo bo'inan siburin ba. They don't literally have to be on the field for the kinyan agav to work. Shmamina. This is an excellent, good raya. Bottom line is, it doesn't have to be tziburin on the field. Lo bo'inan tziburin. Now, I know we reached a two dots here, but we'll actually finish off the sugya by going a little bit further. Yibalu, they asked in the base medrash, mi bo'inan agav lo. Does the person have to use the lashon of a kinyan agav for these transactions to actually work as a kinyan agav, or is it just assumed as such when he says you're going to acquire the metaltali along with the karka, but he doesn't have to say with a kinyan agav? So Gemara says, Toshma, Diktoni Kolhani, all of these proofs that we just brought, not one of them said, Lo Ketoni Agav. So you clearly see that you don't have to say Kinin Agav. So Gemara says, Ultamek, but according to you, Kini Miktoni. It also didn't say go and acquire. Now certainly you have to say go and acquire, or else you can't acquire it. Ella Adi Amar Kini, the stories that we just brought down didn't have the complete language that was used. It was just telling us what happened. So likewise, you must have had to say kini. So therefore, you could argue hochanami adi omer agav, that you also would have to say that this is a kini agav for it to work. So none of these can be a proof. How do we paskin? The Gemara says v'hilchotza siburin lo boina. Like we just said, it doesn't have to physically be on the field. It can be someplace else. But a kini agav can work even if the metatli are not on that piece of karka. However, the halacha is that in regards to saying the words Kenyan, agav, and ukni, and you should acquire it, those are essential ba'inan, and if you don't say each of those, then it is not in fact going to be a valid Kenyan. With this, we conclude today's share.